Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who has instructed the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us to be wise in what is right, and ever to rejoice in his consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. I am the way, the truth, and the life. In these clear and unmistakable words, our Lord traces out for us the true path that leads to everlasting happiness. He is the only road linking heaven and earth. He is speaking to all men, but in a very special way, he is thinking of people who, like you and me, are determined to take our Christian vocation seriously, so that God may always be present in our thoughts, on our lips, and in everything we do, including our most ordinary and routine actions. Jesus is the way. Behind him, on this earth of ours, he has left the clear outlines of his footprints. They are indelible signs which neither the erosion of time nor the treachery of the evil one have been able to erase. How I love to recall these words, Jesus Christ, the very Jesus who was alive yesterday for his apostles and the people who sought him out. This same Jesus lives today for us and will live forever. Yet at times we poor men fail to recognize his ever-present features because our eyes are tired and our vision clouded. Now, as we begin this time of prayer close to the tabernacle, ask him, like the blind man in the gospel did, Lord, that I may see. Enlighten my intelligence and let Christ's words penetrate deep into my mind. Strengthen his life in my soul, so that I may be transformed in readiness for eternal glory. How crystal clear Christ's teaching is. As usual, let us turn to the New Testament, this time to St. Matthew, chapter 11. Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. Don't you see? We have to learn from him, from Jesus, who is our only model. If you want to go forward without stumbling or wandering off the path, then all you have to do is walk the road he walked, placing your feet in his footprints and entering into his humble and patient heart, there to drink from the wellsprings of his commandments and of his love. In a word, you must identify yourself with Jesus Christ and try to become really and truly another Christ among your fellow men. To make sure there is no mistake here, let us read another quotation from St. Matthew. In chapter 16, our Lord makes his doctrine even clearer. If anyone wishes to come my way, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. God's way is one of renunciation, of mortification, of self-surrender, but it is not one of sadness or faint-heartedness. Reflect on the example that Christ gave us, from the crib in Bethlehem to his throne on Calvary. Think of his self-denial and of all he went through: hunger, thirst, weariness, heat, tiredness, ill temperament, misunderstandings, tears. But at the same time, think of his joy in being able to save the whole of mankind. And now I would like you to engrave deeply in your mind and upon your heart, so that you can meditate on it often and draw your own practical conclusions, the summary St. Paul made to the Ephesians when he invited them to follow resolutely in our Lord's footsteps. Be imitators of God as very dear children, and walk in love as Christ has loved us and delivered himself up for us, a sacrifice breathing out fragrance as he offered it to God. Jesus gave himself up for us in a holocaust of love. What about you, who are a disciple of Christ? You, a favored son of God. You, who have been ransomed at the price of the cross. You too should be ready to deny yourself. So, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, neither you nor I can ever allow ourselves to behave in a way that is selfish, materialistic, comfort-seeking, dissipated, or, forgive me if I speak too candidly, just plain stupid. If all you want is the esteem of your fellow men, and you long to be respected and appreciated, and you only seek a pleasant life, then you have strayed from the path. Only those who travel the rugged, narrow, and austere path of tribulation are allowed to enter the city of the saints, there to rest and reign with the King for eternity. You yourself must decide of your own free will to take up the cross. Otherwise, your tongue may say that you are imitating Christ, but your actions will belie your words. That way, you will never get to know the Master intimately or love him truly. It is really important that we Christians convince ourselves of this. We are not walking with our Lord unless we are spontaneously depriving ourselves of many things that our whims, vanity, pleasure, or self-interest clamor for. Not a single day should pass that has not been seasoned with the salt and grace of mortification. And please get rid of the idea that you would then be miserable. What a sad little happiness you will have if you don't learn to overcome yourselves, if you let your passions and fancies dominate and crush you, instead of courageously taking up your cross. As I speak of these things, there comes to mind the dream of that author of the golden age of Spanish literature. I am sure some of you have heard me mention it in other meditations. The writer sees two roads opening up before him. One of them is broad and smooth, easy to travel, with many comfortable inns, taverns, and other places of beauty and delight. Along this road go great crowds of people on horseback or in carriages, in a hubbub of music and mindless laughter. One sees a multitude intoxicated by a joy which is simply ephemeral and superficial, for this road leads to a bottomless precipice. It is the road taken by the worldly-minded, ever seeking material pleasure, boasting a happiness that they do not really possess, and craving insatiably for comfort and pleasure. They are terrified at the thought of suffering, self-denial, or sacrifice. They have no wish to know anything about the cross of Christ. They think it is sheer madness. But then it is they who are insane, for they are slaves of envy, gluttony, and sensuality. They end up suffering far more, and only too late do they realize that they have squandered both their earthly and their eternal happiness in exchange for meaningless trifles. Our Lord has warned us about this. The man who tries to save his life shall lose it. It is the man who loses his life for my sake who will secure it. How is a man the better for if he gains the whole world at the cost of losing his own soul? In that dream there is another path, which goes in a different direction. It is so steep and narrow that the travelers who take it cannot go on horseback. All who take it must go on foot, perhaps having to zigzag from side to side. But they move steadily on, treading on thorns and briars, picking their way round rocks and boulders. At times their clothing gets torn, even their flesh. But at the end of this road, a garden of paradise awaits them, eternal happiness, heaven. This is the way taken by holy people, who humble themselves and who, out of love for Jesus, gladly sacrifice themselves for others. It is the path of those who are not afraid of an uphill climb, who bear the cross lovingly, no matter how heavy it may be, because they know that if they fall under its weight, they can still get up and continue their ascent. Christ is the strength of these travelers. What does it matter that we may stumble on the way if we find in the pain of our fall the energy to pick ourselves up and go on with renewed vigor? Don't forget that the saint is not the person who never falls, but rather the one who never fails to get up again, humbly and with a holy stubbornness. If the book of Proverbs says that the just man falls 7 times a day, who are we poor creatures, you and I, to be surprised or discouraged by our own weaknesses and falls? We will be able to keep going ahead if only we seek our fortitude in him who says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest." Thank you, Lord, because you and you alone, my God, have always been my strength, my refuge, and my support. If you really want to make progress in the interior life, be humble. Turn constantly and confidently to the help of our Lord and of his blessed mother, who is your mother too. No matter how much the still open wound of your latest fall may hurt, embrace the cross once more and calmly, without getting upset, say, "With your help, Lord, I'll fight so as not to be held back. I'll respond faithfully to your invitations. I won't be afraid of steep climbs, nor of the apparent monotony of my daily work, nor of the thistles and loose stones on the way. I know that I am aided by your mercy and that at the end of the road I will find eternal happiness, full of joy and love forever and ever." Later in the same dream, our writer discovers a third path. It too is narrow, and, like the second, it is both steep and rugged. Those who travel it walk solemnly and regally in the midst of countless hardships. Yet they end up falling over the same terrible precipice that the first road leads to. This is the path of the hypocrites, people who lack a right intention, who are motivated by a false zeal and pervert divine works by mixing them with their own selfish and temporal ambitions. It is folly to undertake a hard and difficult task just to be admired, to put great effort into keeping God's commandments with but an earthly reward in mind. Whoever practices virtue for the sake of some human benefit is like a person who sells off a priceless heirloom for just a few coins. He could have won heaven, but he is content instead with fleeting praise. That is why they say that the hopes of the hypocrites are like a spider's web. So much effort goes into weaving it, and in the end it is blown away by a puff of the wind of death. My purpose in reminding you of these hard realities is to stimulate you to examine carefully the motives that inspire your behavior, so that you can put right what needs to be corrected and direct everything to the service of God and your fellow men. Don't forget that God has passed by our side, that he has cast his loving glance upon us, and has called us to a vocation of holiness, not because of anything we have done, but out of his own good pleasure and the grace he has lavished on us since the world began. Purify your intentions, then. Do everything for the love of God and embrace your daily cross joyfully. This is something I have repeated thousands of times because I believe that these ideas should be engraved on every Christian heart. When we advance beyond the stage of simply tolerating difficulties or sufferings, whether physical or moral, and instead love them and offer them to God in reparation for our sins and the sins of all mankind, then, I assure you, they do not distress us. It is no longer just any cross we are carrying. We discover that it is the cross of Christ, and with it the consolation of knowing that our Redeemer has taken it upon himself to bear its weight. We cooperate as Simon of Cyrene did, who, when he was returning from work on his farm, intending to take a well-earned rest, was forced to lend his shoulder to help Jesus. For soul in love, it is no misfortune to become voluntarily Christ's Simon of Cyrene, and, in this way, to give such close company to his suffering humanity, reduced to a state of rags and tatters. For if we do this, we can be certain of our closeness to God, who blesses us by choosing us for this task. Many people may have spoken to me in amazement of the joys which, thanks to God, my children in Opus Dei have, and which they spread to others. Faced with this evident truth, I always give the same reply because I know no other. Their happiness has its foundation in the fact that they fear neither life nor death, that they are not overwhelmed when they meet with misfortune, that they strive daily to live with a spirit of sacrifice in spite of their own defects and weaknesses, and they are constantly ready to deny themselves in order to make the Christian path easier and more pleasant for others. Today's reading comes from St. José María Escrivá's book, Friends of God, the chapter entitled In the Footsteps of Christ.